Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy, and you're listening to In Between Visits. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, I had the opportunity to sit down with Leslie Robertson and really dive deep in what it means to take care of yourself in all areas, mind, body, soul. Leslie is an awesome person to connect with about this. I mean, as a business owner, she's a personal trainer. She owns her own gym. She has an incredible online program. And she's really passionate about helping moms take better care of themselves. She herself has had quite the journey from, you know, really being involved in sports as a young age, very competitive, you know, went to the United States on a volleyball scholarship. And then found herself, you know, really in this in-between place after she left sport. Gained a lot of weight, tried to do a lot of yo-yo dieting, you know, really leaned into that kind of perfectionist, people-pleaser time of her life and felt pretty unfulfilled and very disconnected from herself. It was her connection to fitness, her connection to, you know, lifting weights that brought her back to herself. And because this woman is so incredibly inspiring, it wasn't about just keeping it there. She wanted to spread this message out to other people. She wanted to share what she'd learned in her journey, as well as all the gifts that come with just nourishing yourself through movement, through sleep, through nutrition. She's not just a trainer. She's actually a lifestyle coach. And she dives deep also into people's mental emotional relationship with food and fitness and finds what's best for them. She's super busy in her own life, as you'll see in this interview. Like, pinning her down and getting this time for her was absolutely amazing. You know, given her business through the pandemic and, you know, being the mom of two small children, you literally hear the people lifting weights. You know, it's happened in live time as we're talking. And, you know, she got to run out and go grab her son from his daycare at the end of the interview. The reason why I love this time so much with her is it was just so authentic. She's so motivating, so real. And I can't wait for you guys to meet her. Let's get started. Hello, Leslie Robertson, aka
Hello.
Les. Get
Hello.
Fit with Les.
Hi. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Oh my goodness. It's so nice to be chatting with you.
Me too. I've been looking forward to this since we booked it, 6 weeks ago?
I know. Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. You're such an inspiration to our community. I mean, so much wonderful work you're doing around getting people moving, you know, especially through this time. And, you know, that sort of butting that's happening, or people feeling, you know, like just it's, you know, they deserve to sit on the couch at the end of the day and eat the chips or skip the workouts. You know, life is so hard. Mm-hmm. And I really want to have a discussion today around all the amazing things you're doing in order to kind of like support people and shift that mindset around like how much they can, you know, what they get from this stuff, right? We always look at what it's going to cost, but really, you know, all the wonderful things that can come from this type of lifestyle that you promote. So
nice.
Yes. So thanks so much for being here. And
thank you.
As a disclaimer, I wanted to share with the audience that Leslie's at her gym, which is, I feel like, even more authentic. So if we're hearing
Be a little background noise. Yeah. There's people working out in the gym. It's exciting. We're so happy to be open. We've been closed on and off for so long. So this is the best place for me to do this today. So I apologize for the background noise.
Oh no, it's motivation, right? People are gonna hear those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about you. Tell me about how you came to
Oh,
be, you know, came to be in this career, this passion that you have.
oh my gosh. It's like it's a long story, but it's like just to summarize it, I've always been active my whole life. So I've started as an athlete from a young age. I started playing basketball at like the age of 7. And then I played competitive basketball, and then I actually made the switch over to volleyball. And then I did that for quite a few years, and then I actually played volleyball in the US on a volleyball scholarship. And I actually was lifting weights when I was 15 to help me to get stronger, to get noticed by coaches, and to improve my game. So that's when I started lifting weights at the age of 15,
Wow.
which got me really, I was really into it. And then university, of course, we have strength and conditioning coaches who help us to get even better at our sport. So it really all began like in my teens, like getting into like workouts and, you know, healthy eating and that sort of thing. But then after university, there was a period of time when, and even in university, wouldn't say I was like the model athlete. You know, I like to party and, you know, eat late after the bar and that sort of thing. And then after that, after my volleyball playing career, it started. I actually went into a career of teaching, crazily enough. And then my health kind of took a turn for the worse there. So, you know, I wasn't making a priority. I was adjusting from being like super high caliber athlete with like coaches and practices, to getting to a point where I just was kind of lost with my health and fitness, and I was so focused into my career and getting settled there. And then I actually didn't really like it either. I didn't really like teaching. So then that got me into like an even more, you know, negative space. So then my fitness just went out the window. So I gained quite a bit of weight. And then it was when I made the transition from deciding, okay, you know what? I don't want to be a teacher anymore. It's not for me. Doesn't like, you know, light up my life. Doesn't bring me joy. So then I transitioned into personal training. There's a little, you know, there was a bit of a spot there where I worked in a restaurant as well. But I discovered that's what I was missing. And my sister, like, I will thank her. She's the one, like, she knew, like, when I was going through a tough time and wasn't feeling 100%, she's like, maybe, have you ever thought about, like, maybe going to the gym, like, getting a trainer? So I actually started with, I had a personal trainer. And by working with her, like, I have a degree in kinesiology and physical education. I was doing the workout. She's like, you know what you're doing? You have great form. Like, I'm like, oh, I was an athlete. I have a kinesiology degree. And then I ended up getting a job because I wasn't happy working at the restaurant. So then I got a job as a personal trainer at the gym. And that was like, I don't know, almost 15 years ago now. And then I've had my own journey through health and fitness. Like, you know, I've done marathons and fitness competitions, all the extreme things. And it's when I became a mom 4 years ago where I really found my groove and figured out what does fitness mean for me. And then I had my second child last March. So it's when I had two kids that I had to adapt even more. So my journey's kind of been ongoing. So getting in amazing shape, like becoming a personal trainer, and then ha after having kids, like that whole transition, I'm still in that mode right now with my second. So it's a long story, but really, it all came from changing careers from teaching to personal training because I didn't love what I was doing, but I totally love what I do now, and mostly working with moms specifically.
Well, I think there's just so many themes that thread through your story. You know, the idea that how do we truly live our best life, when we are, you know, not being authentic with our day to day, and you know, recognizing that we don't all have to quit our jobs and, you know, to be happy. You know, but the challenge is that a lot of times when we're not living in that place of alignment, then we do sabotage, right? We're looking almost to disassociate from some of the feelings that we have, and so that
Totally.
can end up with, you know, the junk food. It can end up with the lack of movement, and unfortunately,
Stress.
yeah, we then start to lean into the shame around that and not look at it holistically. I mean, I know with my work, I mean, that's like my jam. It really is trying to get people to understand that, you know, optimizing health sometimes means removing certain obstacles. And sometimes those obstacles can be like your job. You know, it can be, it's not just about eating better
Relationship.
and, you know, like eating better and working out.
In fact,
Yeah.
there's many pillars. And so, you know, that, and then the transition, you know, the idea of letting go of the used to create space for new, you know, those, the shifting of values through evolution, becoming from a professional athlete to then career to then mom, you know, all of those pieces. So tell me a little bit about where you've landed, like with two, and I think people, whether you have kids or not, there's a relatability factor around, we've all had to adapt over the last year. And specifically around everything, but movement, you know? And so tell me a little bit about, you know, both from like practical, but also mindset about how you adapt.
Yeah. Well, very good question. And I did have, and I'm like everybody else. I was in shock back in March. Like imagine like just the general population, but like I had a baby in March.
Yes.
I also had a business that was closed.
Oh, honey.
And you like, it's that, all that. And then like, you know, you just had a baby, your body's like, you know, a little bit different. You're feeling weak. And then you have the stress of the business, and then you have stress of the pandemic, not having help. So that, it took me a little while. So I went to some like, you know, not so healthy habits. I wasn't sleeping enough because I was trying to do extra work to keep my clients happy, even though I just had a baby. So it was like business, family, and I was last. So, and then I didn't have the energy. So what I've been able to do through, like, I actually have a coach myself right now because I knew I needed that support. So that's one thing when it comes to, so, you know, changing habits and lifestyle, like you need to get help. Like if you're not doing it on your own and you keep trying and you keep failing, just admit you need help and seek out that person. It could be a naturopathic doctor, could be a trainer, could be a therapist, could be a nutritionist, could be a life coach. Like, get the help you need. So what I've been able to establish with my coach is finding a way to balance, because my business is important and we've been able to make it to the other side with that. My family is important, but I'm also important. And when I feel like I'm not putting myself first, whether it's, you know, eating right, it's everything. You can't do one without the other. So sleep, stress management, eating healthy, you know, moving my body and making sure my mind, like I'm staying present, I'm positive. Like if that's not, if they're all those pieces aren't working together, there's going to be, you're going to be a little bit off. Right. So
100%.
I had to like, so I had to seek out the help to be like, my coach is like, what's important to you? What are your values? Like, where are you now? And where do you want to go? I wasn't in the headspace, or I didn't have the capacity to do that on my own. So I'm like, I know this person's going to help me. So I've been with her for the last 4 months. So it was around in the summertime when I was trying on my own, but I wasn't having the success. But what I find is health right now for me is I need time for me every day, which could be, you know, whether I'm working out, I'm meditating, I'm reading a book, I'm taking a nap, I'm going for a walk, even if it's 10 minutes. If I don't get that time to just disconnect from work, my family, social media, whatever, it's really tough to have a great day. So for me, like right now, the only time that I have that time is early in the morning. I get up at 4:30 in the morning to do my time. I call it my magic time or my victory hour. I just read the 5 a.m. club and I'm officially one of those people. So I do my workout, I do my little meditation and my journaling, and I kind of get set up for my day and then I'm good. But if I don't get that workout first thing in the morning, it's not going to happen. Like I've tried the evening thing and I don't have energy. You know, kids aren't going to bed when you want them to, and you gotta like clean up. And I'm like, you know, like first thing before my brain has a chance to figure out what I'm doing, it needs to happen right away. So for me, the working out in the morning has been life changing. And I start work at 6 a.m. Like I have clients at 6 a.m. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to wake up at 5, but find a way so that the most important thing or the thing that makes you feel good, you're doing that first thing in the morning.
That's amazing. Right? Yeah.
That for me has been huge. Yeah.
So it's establishing, I mean, what I'm hearing there is really anchors, right? So the anchor of time, right? So, and like carving it like a meeting, like this is your time, non-negotiable. And then another anchor for you, and this is about the third time I've heard this today in different forums that I've been chatting with, is, you know, creating, like having that coach, having that sort of accountability piece, right? So, because it's so hard for us to be objective with ourselves. Like that's what I say to patients every day. Like you know, I have the perspective of objectivity mm-hmm. that, you know, and therefore mm-hmm. so much of the, you know, unpacking is really, okay, you're trying, you know, a person is maybe mm-hmm. trying to have, you know, this incredible diet mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. exercising, but they're doing this crap or they're stressing.
Yeah.
And it's yep. like, okay, yep. maybe you don't have to do more of the thing you're doing. Maybe there's actually yes. an opportunity to reshift things. And
yes,
one of the things exactly. So to be devil's mm. advocate in, you know, sort of the eating, sleeping, stress, like for you, where would you, you know, where would you pick an access point? So someone's coming to you, they're in a total rut mm-hmm. and they're like, mm-hmm. what, step one, like, what is the first thing?
Oh gosh.
You know, right? Like, yeah. It's so individual, right? Like it's
still yeah, yeah, of course.
But like that kind yeah. of, you know, with your clients, do you have that sort of access mm-hmm. where their light bulb goes off, where right. you see a momentum yep, shift yep. in them?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically I say, well, I will ask them like, okay, so what are you doing right now? So get a baseline of like, what are you doing now? Mm-hmm. And like, let's talk about movement specifically or nutrition or whatever. So you need to do an audit. So like, mm-hmm. if it's your time, your movement, your nutrition, your sleep, how much time you spend on your phone, like, let's find out right now how much of that are you doing? So if some people are like, I'm not working out at all, I'm like, okay, well, let's start with one workout. Mm-hmm. Are you 90% confident that when I see you next week, you will have done one workout on your own? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe you need to train with me in person. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. you need more support. So that's what's, I start with like, what are you doing now? And then I ask them, how many times a week would you like to be working out? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh, I'd love to do every day. And then I'll be like, again, that whole 90% thing. How confident are you that you can consistently do that week after week, starting today, right? So if they're like, oh, like a two, I'm like, okay, we'll pick another number. How many workouts can you consistently do a week? So I usually start with that. It's all about confidence and consistency. So I'm like, how many times a week do you think you can consistently work out? And a workout is not an hour. It could be a 10-minute workout, right? So starting super small and like, you know, digestible or achievable. Like, I want to make them feel like they can win the week, right? So what's going to make you feel like you can accomplish it and get it done instead of I'm a failure, I didn't do it? So that's where I would start when it comes to workouts. And again, start with where you are, tell me where you want to go. And then to move from 1 to 2, not 1 to 100, right. What is that thing we need to do to move from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 3? So starting small, so like 10, 15, 20 minute workout, even if it's once, twice a week. So that I get them to kind of, you know, that's where I would start with.
I think that is, I love that word audit. You know, it's like we have to, with, you know, complete curiosity, be the witness, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and just hold space for like, okay, what's happening now? And mm-hmm. because that exactly. is your start point. And that, you know, that can create the vision of what is reasonable mm-hmm. for yourself. And I agree with that. You know, mm-hmm. so many people want to do it all at once. And there's this high expectation, which unfortunately, it just results in failure and that perpetuating. Yes. And I think one of the big things through the pandemic, and certainly, you know, with moms, I have my daughter's now 7, but I definitely oh, wow. went through that transition as well of mm-hmm, mm-hmm. almost grieving, you know, like the time yep, I had, yep. the energy I had, the person I was.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, realizing that I had to let go of the used to's, right? So I yes. used to be a person who is so really, you know, part yep, of that questioning yep. to self is, what are you identifying now? Like, are you identifying?
Yes.
And is that in line with those values? And how mm-hmm. do you want to identify? So you're talking about the practical steps to get there, but you're also allowing mm-hmm. them to actually like envision, you know, and again, call that inventory. Do you want to be that person that, you know, drinks 3 glasses yeah. of wine and stays up till 1 yeah. in the morning and doesn't move? And if you do, then cool. But most people don't. And how, yeah, and how
exactly.
are you actually identifying as that? Like, what are you mm-hmm, getting from mm-hmm. that? And can you grieve?
Exactly.
Like, you know,
yes.
can you grieve that you're not, you mm-hmm. know, that you're not going to be drinking wine anymore, you know, like for a
yes.
And yeah. honor that yep. you're losing something mm-hmm. and trust that the gain is going to be so incredibly worth it. As opposed
Amen.
To
yes.
like
shooting
yeah. or comparing or
yes.
so
yes or this worked for me in the past, like that's right. another thing I get. Well, I looked like this, and this is what I've done in the past. I'm like, okay, but what about right now? What is your life like now? Like, you cannot compare two different scenarios and say, well, this worked before, so I'm going to do it again. I'm like, all right, well. good luck with that.
Absolutely.
So it's accepting the current state and working within that, you know, parameter, the current circumstances. Yeah.
It's such good stuff. And so with people, one of the things that, you know, you talked about, which was getting to that point, sort of your own, we do what we do till we can't do it anymore. So it sounds like it was kind of your teaching years. How do we like inspire people? And like you said, that feeling of Mount Everest in front of us. You know, like,
yeah, climbing the mountain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do I inspire them? So basically I just take out all the guesswork, all the research, all the different programs you're researching. And I say, okay, let's assess where you're at and like how you're moving your lifestyle, how you're using your time. So again, auditing what's going on. And then I will take that information. And again, I put it on them. Okay. So where can you put it an extra 30 minutes to do a workout, or where can you, you know, find some more time to do some meal prep, or, you know, get to bed? Like, where can we make up this time? Where are those kind of things that are sucking your time and where can we make adjustments? And then I design a program for them specifically. Right. And then I deliver it to them. and then it's on them to do the things. And then I hold them accountable. So if they're like, every week, I'm like, all right, let's set one simple nutrition goal, one simple exercise, and one simple non-exercise or nutrition that you 9 out of 10 believe you can accomplish. So it could be like, I'm going to walk, you know, 3 times this week. I'm going to, you know, eat some more vegetables. And I'm going to go to bed 10 minutes earlier. I'm going to read 10 pages of a book. So again, like, it's just getting them to come up with what they want, but then I assess, okay, well, does this match your current situation? And I ask, what are you willing to do? What are you not willing to do?
Good question.
And then, and also remind them, like, you know what? You're not always going to feel like doing these things. Like, I don't feel like doing it, but in those moments of when you don't feel like doing it, that you're building that resiliency, that commitment muscle, I don't like the word willpower, but you're going to get stronger and better at it. Yeah, there we go. Discipline is the word. And I also tell them too, when you don't, and we'll go back to working out, when you don't feel like working out, cool. But to get yourself to work out, you need to think about how you're going to feel after, right? So when we work out together, know that feeling after your workout, you're like, woo, I feel so good. And like, you got to think about that, because you are never going to feel like it. The chances are less. So think about how you're going to feel after. And then that like switches your brain from, oh, I don't want to do this, to like, no, I will feel, just think of how you're going to feel after. So that's how I inspire them. And also too, with like goal setting. So setting goals and not necessarily like, I want to lose 15 pounds, although I can help you to do that, but more like strength, performance. How do you want to feel? What are you doing? What does your life look like? You know, so what's your ideal day? I always ask my clients, I'm like, what does your ideal day look like? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? What are you saying to yourself? How are you feeling? And then just to get them visualizing that and say, okay, so we need to do the things that future person's going to be doing to get to where you want to be. But again, chipping away at it like one thing at a time. So starting small, small wins, celebrating the wins. Yeah.
It's amazing hearing you talking. I mean, really, yes, I know your modality is personal training and fitness, but really, I mean, so much of how you approach it is really as a lifestyle coach.
I feel that way.
Why I wanted you on here.
And
also, you know, with that in mind, how much of this is mindset, and like, how do you like,
all of it.
Right. I mean, that was rhetorical, but you answered how I'd hoped you would. But it's like, how much of that is mindset? And then how do you, again, how does that show up in how you're coaching people, and, you know, that sort of sabotage and worthiness and, you know, feeling, giving this oneself permission, whether it's the financial commitment to work with you or the time commitment you know, how many of us, you know, keep ourselves small. And so tell me like how that, like how you navigate that piece. Cause I know I stumble across that with patients every single day, and it's that constant, you know, trying to really unpack the belief systems that they have and how that is going to, you know, really create the life that they're living.
So like, so sorry, the question
Yeah, the
is
mindset
like,
piece. Like how do you
okay.
like someone comes in and they're,
Get them to shift. Okay.
they haven't done, you've given them the plan, you've negotiated,
Right.
you know, they've
Right, right,
and
right.
then they come in and
Okay.
they're like, yeah, I didn't do it. I didn't for all the reasons, right? Like
Okay,
and so
right.
they're it's
Ah, okay, I got it. I
yeah.
got it. Okay, so basically I whenever someone comes in or is like have like I they want to just delve all the things that aren't going well. I'm like, okay, before you start, once they go on the negative, I didn't do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but what went well?
Right.
Give me one thing. Like, what's one positive thing that went well for you? They're like, oh, well, I didn't yell at my kids this week. I didn't get Starbucks. So like focusing on the wins and the positives. Like that's what I
Amazing.
do. Yeah, and kind of resetting the goal. So if it's too high and they can't do it, well, let's go back, let's scale back, let's pick a new one or make it even more achievable for you, right?
Yeah, you've touched on such an important part that I think all of us have to be fiercely aware of, which is actually our physiology. It's like why we're still alive and we haven't been, eaten by bears, which is that negativity bias. So we're always going to look, especially at self, with a lens of, negativity. And part of that is, maybe cultural, societal, belief systems, how we, the wounds we carry, all the deep stuff. Part of it is also our physiology in, kind of keeping ourselves somewhat guarded and protected. And so I think it's important to really, lean into, the negativity tendency and practice things when we aren't triggered, like you do, like your morning routine, gratitude and journal. And part of our discipline with mindset is really slowing down our nervous system. We can talk about the behaviors, but the body is along for the ride. And viscerally, from a very primordial perspective, sometimes the train's at the station with how we're feeling emotionally because of our physical manifestation. So I think really working with the discipline of managing our nervous system tendencies, because then you have that nanosecond before choosing the Fudgios over the apple, which we've all been there. I was there
Yeah,
last
just
week.
being mindful. Yeah, like being mindful in the moment of when you're gonna grab the Oreos over the Greek yogurt and strawberries. Sorry, it's getting really loud over here. But yeah, totally. I love what you just described there as well. So key. And sorry, Christy, I do have to go like
Oh,
in a couple
yes.
minutes,
Yep.
but I don't want to end this conversation. I feel like we could have like a part two of
Yes.
this.
No. So what I want to do,
Yeah.
what I want to do is I want to lean into how people can get a hold of you. So I know everyone is out there
Oh,
listening,
perfect.
and if you
Yes.
can just let us know when, where, and
Sure.
how, and people want to get
Sure, sure,
connected.
sure. Yeah. Okay. So the best place to find me is on Instagram. I'm there on quite a lot. So at Get Fit With Less, you can follow me there. And as far as to work with me, you can check out primepersonaltraining.ca. And I train work with people one-on-one in person and online, which is really cool. And I also have a group coaching program that's going to be my next intake will be mid-April, so just after Easter. So it's a 12-week growth program specifically for moms who are wanting to prioritize their health, have more energy, and learn how to take better care of themselves in a way that works in their busy lifestyle. And of course there's some workouts in there as well, but my 12-week group program called the Prime Method, that's probably my bread and butter. That's one of my most favorite things on top of the one-on-one, but that's what I'm most proud of, and I love that program the most.
Amazing. So people can connect with you through your handle, which is Get Fit.
At Get Fit With
That's right.
Less. Yeah.
And DM you if they're interested. And yeah, so follow Les, and we will.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. I know your busy schedule. Thanks so much for creating the space for
No
myself and for my
problem.
audience.
Yes.
You've been an absolute rock star today.
Yes. Thank you so
Okay.
much for having me. This was amazing. I feel like we talked about this
Oh
forever. So
no,
thank you.
two peas in a pod here. Okay, take care.
Yay. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy, and you're listening to In Between Visits. I'm so excited that you're here today. I'm pretty sure I say that every week. The reality is that this is a good one. Dr. Candace Locke is amazing, and I had the opportunity to interview her and really find out what makes her so special as a naturopathic doctor. when it came down to it and we dug deep, the big word and the foundation of Dr. Kan's practice is connection. The healing journey begins when we connect with each other, when we deeply listen to those around us, and most importantly, to ourselves. Dr. Kan's mission is to provide insight into the intricacies of the body. In conventional medicine, we tend to focus on one area of the body, for example, the heart or the lung. And it's important to remember that all systems of the body interplay with each other. One system affects the other. And that's why Dr. Candace does such an incredible job of putting those pieces of the puzzle together and then really, you know, helping you understand and know your own body and your own sense of what you need. Dr. Candace has a passion for healing patients through some of the life's biggest challenges, anything from hormonal imbalances to cancer care, digestive distress, and she truly takes her patients from fear to cheer. You know, I'm so excited about this interview and I can't wait to have you here. Let's get started.